Isn't it wonderful to worship the Lord, sing praises to His holy name, rejoice in the fact that He has redeemed us to Himself? Yeah. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have much to rejoice about. The Lord has purchased us with His very own blood. We are His. He has purchased us. There is much to consider today as we bring focus to the issues of ministry. I sometimes think that the use of a word becomes so common to us that we might really lose the meaning and not even function on the basis of its definition. So we have a great tendency, do we not, to use the word ministry. Do we really know what that means? I'm not implying that you don't know. It's a question for us to consider, for us to ponder, to mull over in our minds to see if we are not functioning on the basis of the definition that our God has given us for one another. To be familiar with words, but not for them to have a deep, deep participation in our heart that would be manifest among us would be sin because of what the Bible teaches. James says, if you know to do right and you don't do it, that is sin. To know it but not to live it is an element, has elements and a reality of deception. We truly may find ourselves believing that we are something and that we are doing something when in reality it's not taking place. And so today, as we focus in on the issues of ministry, especially and specifically those ministry that are particular to us here at Heritage, question, are we involved to the degree that God wants us to be involved, and are we making the impact into each other's lives as God intends it? Are we joint together? Are the ligaments in place? Is each portion of the body functioning in the fashion that God has designed it to? Or are we giving lip service to one another and deceiving ourselves that because we gather together and participate in a function, that that's truly ministry? Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 says this, "But encourage one another day after day, so long as it is still called today." What is today called? Today. And tomorrow will be called, as we experience it, today. And so long as today is called today, the opportunity for us to minister to each other is all day long, day after day after day after day. How can we say to one another, "I don't have time"? Well, there are a lot of reasons, and some of those are not really good reasons. But we may truly be caught up in our own interests. And if our own interests take precedent and they're prioritized over the things that God wants us to do, then there's going to be problems within the body of Christ. Encourage one another day after day, so long as today is called today. That word encourage is the same word that is used of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And how is it that the Holy Spirit ministers to us? He comes alongside and He provides us with all that is necessary for us to live a life that is pleasing, glorifying to God, and it builds us up. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is for us, is it not? Yeah. It is for us to grow, to be strengthened. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are kept by the Holy Spirit. Our eyes are open to the reality and to the understanding of the Word of God that we may live it in each other's lives. We are to come alongside one another and assist one another in the growth that is reflective of and conducive to what the Word teaches. If it reflects anything else, then we are not assisting one another in edification to the glory of God. We're doing other things. Proverbs says, "Do not withhold to those whom it is due when it is in the power of your hands to do so, to give it." Do you have something that the Lord has given you by the power of the person of the Holy Spirit? Do you?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. One. You didn't know this was going to be an interactive sermon, did you?
We're not used to.
Yes, you do. Praise God. He has given you gifts. Here's what I have experienced. This past weekend, I had a wonderful privilege of going down to Mexico. There is a church down there that works with a variety of churches. They've instituted an institute to train men for the ministry. And so they asked me if I wouldn't go down and do a conference. I presented 7 hours of instruction. I walked away encouraged. And yet, they're the ones that were listening. They're the ones that were taking notes in this little building that was scorching hot. It was hot. And they were not falling asleep. They were not rolling their eyes in their head. They were taking notes. And the reason I say I was encouraged by what they ministered to me is what the Word of God did in their hearts while they're listening to what the Scripture has to say. Confessions of men who are pastors that the Lord has penetrated their hearts to be the kind of man that God wants them to be, and they've been living a cultural understanding, not a biblical one. You have gifts. But I want to remind you and encourage you that those gifts that God has given you are not for you to use on yourself. The gifts that God has given you are for me. Imagine that. Have you ever thought of that? Most people in the church don't think that your gifts are for the pastors. They are. Indeed, they are. I can't live without you. Did you know that? I mean, I can live without you, but in the body of Christ, I really can't live without you. I mean, I can. Let me explain. I can. I've asked the Lord for many years to allow me to be a hermit. I can go up in the mountains and live like a hermit and let my hair grow again like it used to be. And jeans and t-shirts and sandals. I can exist without you, but I can't live without you. I can't truly live the life that God wants me to live without you. Flash, you can't live without me either. The gifts that I have are for you, and the gifts that you have are for me. And when we gather together, those gifts are for the purpose of glorifying God as we build each other up in the most holy faith. We need each other. No one can say, I have no need of you. I'll get to the passage that I'm preaching on in a few minutes. But look over at Colossians. Chapter 2. I'm sorry. That's not the one. Philippians chapter 2. Just a couple of pages over. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion. Now, do those words sound like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same life, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. One purpose. Our one purpose is to glorify God collectively and individually in our lives, joint together. And listen to this prohibition, this command. Do not, from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard another more important than yourself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing. Do you know what selfish ambition and conceit sound like? I hope you haven't said this, but you may recognize it in somebody else. We're going to do it my way because I say so. No. We ought to say, Lord, we'll do it your way because it glorifies you and it builds up my brothers and sisters in the faith. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility of mind, regard one another more important as yourself, and do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of the others. What happens when we come together for the purpose of ministry in the church? Most of the time. I wouldn't say all of the time, but perhaps a good portion of the time, we go there so that people can minister to me instead of with the intention I'm going there to encourage somebody else. I have needs, and so do you. But I wonder sometimes if I would take some time and contemplate and look very carefully at what my needs are, if they may not look like selfish kinds of things. Instead of taking those things captive, making them obedient to Christ, and placing myself in a position of the true servant that God wants me to be, in humility. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, slave. That hyphenated, hybrid word is really slave. It's not politically correct today to speak of slaves, is it? Perhaps not politically correct, but we are not, should not be more politically minded than spiritually minded. That is a slave. Became a slave and being made into the likeness of man, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Humility should be a mark of the character of the life of an individual who calls himself by the name of Christ. Humility. And it's not something that we decide that we're going to be. It's something that is created in us by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit when we see ourselves truly in light of what the Scripture teaches. Do we need it? Absolutely. Oh, how we need humility. We need to reflect our glorious Savior as we minister to one another. We should come together for the purpose of encouraging one another. And even though we may be loaded down with issues, those should be secondary for the purpose of exalting our God and placing you before me. One of the questions I asked the brethren, the second session they brought their wives, and I said to them, when you guys encourage problems in your marriage, who do you go to? They call their pastor, pastor brother. Hermano pastor. And they point to him and I said, no, no, no. But that's a mentality, right? There's five of us here. When you have problems, do you call each other? Maybe sometimes, but most of the time you're calling us. And you should call us. And we'd never discourage you from calling us. But we cannot do the work of the ministry by ourselves. Therefore, God has placed the mantle of responsibility for us to equip you for the work of ministry. And I said to the brethren, oh, no, no. The work of the ministry belongs in the hands of the people, the saints, you. You know, the sad comment was, we don't know how. We don't know how. Why? There's a lot of reasons. But at least in that place, those pastors are wanting to learn for the purpose of teaching the people. And they've invited us. That in and of itself is a sign of humility to invite somebody from another country to go help them. And I was blessed. But here's a passage of Scripture that I want to look in on today. Ephesians chapter 4. When you have an opportunity, read the entire chapter, but I want to focus in on these few verses. And he, that is Christ, that is our Savior, gave some as apostles and some prophets, verse 11. chapter 4. And he gave some as apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? He called these offices into existence, giving gifts to these men specifically for a purpose, for the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints, that is to restore and to correct and to instruct. Away from what? Away from the deceptive doctrines that were affecting the church. That were infecting the people of God. To correct, to strengthen, to put in order, to align, to instruct, to restore. That is our responsibility. And I tell you, as Pastor Tim said last week, it is a heavy and a very scary one. A trepidatious one for us who have been called into positions of pastor teachers. That we will stand, according to Hebrews, we will stand before God and we will give an account for you. That's scary. But thank God that we don't have to do that work in our own individual ideas, in the power that we think we may have. It is a work of God. This is a supernatural work that is taking place among the people of God. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry or for the work of service. We want to be built up in the most holy faith, do we not? I do. And I believe that you do too. That's why you're here. To glorify God as the world looks at that group of people called the church, and we stand out in stark contrast to the rest of the world because we are separated from the world unto God and we look different. Not in appearance, but in lifestyle, we look different. I hope also we look a little different than in appearance. That we behave and conduct ourselves in a fashion that does not bring shame to the name of our Christ, our God, our Savior, our Lord. For the edification of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. How long are we supposed to do this?
Today.
For a minute? All day, so long as it's called today. And look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Until. There is a process of sanctification that is taking place as parenthetical during this life. And until that day, what day will that be? It will be the day of glory. Full, complete maturity. But in the meantime, we can mature. There can be seen in us an issue of maturity. I've got a one-year-old grandson and a one-year-old granddaughter. My hope that is in 3 years, they're not going to be acting like one-year-olds. My one-year-old grandson does not act like my 10-year-old granddaughter. He acts in an immature fashion. She is not as immature as he is. And in 10 years, I am expecting that my oldest granddaughter will be more mature than she is now. Is there not an expectation from our God that we who are in Christ, under the inspiration and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, as we give to each other the precious gifts of God, maturity in the body of Christ, there should be less of the expression of the world and more of holiness unto maturity? That is, there's got to be a renewing of the mind. We can no longer continue to think the way that we once did, because now we see things differently, and the way that we're going to see things differently is we come alongside each other and we instruct and encourage one another when we say, no, that's wrong thinking. That's not the proper way of considering that. There, here it is. And I pray I don't tell them what I think or tell you what I think, but this is what the Scripture says. The renewing of the mind can only take place when we instruct one another in the Scripture. and we see things differently. And knowing and understanding things differently should cause us to grow unto maturity. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Do we know God's goal for us? Do we know God's intention for us ultimately? And the church should resound with a, yes, we do. And that is that God is in the process of conforming and transforming us into the likeness and the image of His precious Son. That is His goal. We will be like Him when we see Him. Oh, can't you wait for the day when we see our glorious Father face to face? The day is coming. Until then, our responsibility as pastors, as elders, is to instruct you, to instruct those who are in different areas of ministry, to always reflect what the Scripture says. We are not a social service. Can we repeat that? We're not here for the purpose of progressing social services. We are here for the purpose of glorifying God and building each other up in the most holy faith. And the ministries that exist here should glorify God and should have deep roots within the Word of God and not simply social activities. That's why we don't play bingo here. Actually, I think we played it one time. We can have fun. I'm not saying we shouldn't have fun. We can have fun. But that's not the norm. I mean, the social activities. Yes, the norm should be fun. Should be joy in the Lord.
Amen, brother.
but not a social gathering for all the other stuff. Your gifts are for me. My gifts are for you. Brothers, let's employ them. Do not withhold the good to whom it is belongs when it is in the power of your hands to do it. Husbands, God has given you a gift of love for your wives. Wives, God has given you a gift of respect for your husbands. Husbands, God has given you a gift of honor for your wives. Wives, God has given you a gift of submission. Children, God has given you a gift of submission to obey your mothers and your fathers. And parents, God has given us a gift of how to raise our children unto the godliness of children. We need each other. Brothers and sisters, if you know somebody in need, you don't say tomorrow. And the greatest need we have is spiritual instruction. Oh, we are rich. It's amazing to see how the Lord has raised up in our fellowship several handfuls of men who have a desire to preach the gospel. And it is our privilege to prepare them to preach the gospel. I spent 7 hours of instruction this past weekend with a group of men who are so hungry. And I walked away encouraged by what they told me the Word of God did in their hearts. Let's employ our gifts. Let's glorify God. Let's pray quickly. Father, thank you for this opportunity of seeing what you have given us here. Lord, we are rich in ministry. I pray that that word would not just be a word. I pray that it would be a lifestyle. Teach us your ways. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.